You're listening to Nick's Knacks and KFKA, hosted by Nick Kenny. Nick is the CEO of the Greeley Philharmonic Orchestra and the 2019 Greeley Chamber Ambassador of the Year. Nick's Knacks also touches on local and global issues through Nick's perspective, offering unique insights into the world's happenings. Prepare to learn something new in this thought-provoking and entertaining show.
Listeners, you're listening to Nick's Knacks on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice here in the Allo Communications studios in downtown Greeley. It's just me on the show today with Micah Kilpatrick behind the glass as the producer.
You know, how many times has it been called bulletproof glass? I wonder if there's anyone out there who thinks it's actually bulletproof.
Should we find out? Should we test it live on the air someday?
Maybe. I don't have a gun. And this is a small enough room to where it would hurt my hearing without some major protection. So I don't think I want to try.
Well, at least you thought it through, Micah. You didn't
and
just
also,
say no.
The destruction of property.
That would be significant.
Yeah, and I'd get fired.
Well, we don't want that. We do not want that. Well, no guests, as I said today, but there's so much to talk about. I finally think that I've made it in radio. I mean, I haven't made it in radio. It's not like I have a career in radio. Just a lot of fun hosting Nick's Knacks and, of course, co-hosting The Nerd Show with you, Micah, and with Scott. But, you know, the guys are all out playing or having a meeting before. Like, what are you talking about today, Nick? I don't know. And just go in. This is when you know you're cut out for it.
Yeah, sometimes you just don't know what you're going to do, so you just BS your way through it.
Hey, there's one way to do it.
Indeed.
There's a lot that's been going on, so I'll just fill people in on just some cool things. Last week, my show included a wonderful time with Maestro Lowell Graham, the music director and conductor of the Greeley Philharmonic Orchestra, a wonderful show. Honestly, we could have just a whole year's worth of shows with Lowell Graham.
I wish his name was Phil.
Phil Graham?
Phil of the Philharmonic.
Ah, no, yes, no.
I'm going to shut up now.
What other Graham? No, we're not going to go. We're not going to divert there yet, Micah.
Clark doesn't like my joke.
I don't know about that one.
No, I really don't know about that one, Micah. Just talking about the wonderful concert that we had a couple of weeks ago, and it was special to me, too. My parents actually came out from Indiana, and I've been with the Greeley Philharmonic for 7 years now. Started out as an administrative assistant in December of 2015, so coming up on my seven-year anniversary, and then taking over as executive director about almost 2 years, about a summer and a half afterwards. They haven't been to a concert yet. They've come to a few things during COVID when we had some outdoor events when they usually visit during the fall months. But this was their time to come out. They made the drive from Indiana and got to experience a Greeley Philharmonic concert that was all Italian themed. I know in that recap that we had with Lowell last week, everything was very Italian. Mendelssohn's Italian Symphony, we had some Verdi overtures, but truly the magic of that night was the additional brass that we brought in. We didn't share too much information about that. Wanted it to be a sonic sensation and surprise, going for alliteration there, for our audience members. We had over 20 brass members, in addition to what we had on stage in the orchestra, come out for the final 4 minutes of the Pines of Rome piece by Ottorino Respighi. It's called Pines of the Appian Way. And you're just supposed to hear, you know, the army calling the city center. That's where you have that distant and offstage brass. And it just builds and builds and builds and builds. And it was so loud. It was so loud. On one end, and I played the flugelhorn for that. It was my primary instrument when I was with the Colorado Brass Band, who had members represented for this additional brass. But it's pitched the same way as a B-flat trumpet. So I got to play flugelhorn alongside, and Lowell talked about this, General Cook, who was one of his musicians 40 years ago in Langley. I mean, Lowell talked about that. We have an incredible article coming out soon from the Greeley Tribune just about how 4 decades have passed and these two individuals get to share the stage again. Anyway, it was incredible. I tell you, there was probably no louder experience with an orchestra I'd say in northern Colorado. I would even say in the entire state, but I don't want to be challenged just in case. I could be wrong, but it was fun. It was loud, and the audience just gobbled that up, and that's kind of what we're going for with the GPO now. You know, we can talk about it as much as we can, but we're just not hitting enough people, enough ears. Which has led me down to some paths of investigations and articles and stories that have been published. It's been hard after COVID. It was hard during COVID. That was a challenge. We had not nearly enough opportunities to perform safely, you know, when you think of orchestras, you have to be inside a concert hall, but you're not enough spaces outdoors, especially in those cold months when COVID first hit. And then, of course, we went through that entire 18 months of no performances. But trying to raise awareness about the arts right now. Last year, we were up. People were happy to be out again, supporting the arts again. We had some interesting programs, what with the boroughs, you know, to kick off our season. A year ago, just a couple of days ago, all those memories were popping up on my Snapchat stories, on my Facebook stories. It was fantastic to remember how exciting and fun last year's opening concert with the boroughs was, and we're doing that again. We had the, you know, just monumental, epic concerts with an Aretha Franklin tribute concert. But this year especially has been off, has been not quite as populated in the concert hall. So I'm trying to, you know, understand why, you know, from people who are much smarter than me, who focus on this for a living and a career. There's just so many things to do. There's so many other commitments and options available. There's sporting events, there's other arts organizations, there's live music in downtown Greeley, almost anywhere you pop in on a Friday or Saturday night. You've got kids' recitals and their school adventures. You've got football games, you've got basketball games, UNC games, UNC theater and arts and dance, the Greeley Corral, the Children's Corral. There's so much out there, and that's just in Greeley. That's just in Greeley. Oh, and don't forget Friday Fests, Oktoberfest, all those great things. And we're not even discussing what happens in Fort Collins, in Loveland, in Denver. You know, it's great. People are out. People are spending money. Even with this R word, recession, being tossed around, people are out still spending money. But they're not necessarily supporting the arts. And is it because folks assume it's always going to be there? Is it because musicians always assume, you know what, we have this incredible, remarkable product that is great for the community, great for the economy, great for our souls, for our qualities of life, but taking for granted that it's always going to be there. And, you know, again, a person much smarter than me, it's kind of raising that question of how alarmed should we be? Nationally, ticket sales for orchestras are down 67%, 67% from pre-COVID levels. And the Greeley Philharmonic, first couple concerts, about 50%. So we're above the national average. But that's not sustainable for arts organizations, for nonprofits, for these professional organizations that are trying to present and add to the enhancement of lives in the community. And why is that? Our product is remarkable. There's nothing like this in northern Colorado. There's probably nothing like the Greeley Philharmonic in all of Colorado. We just don't have the budget of the Colorado Symphony to really do what we want to do best. We also don't have the population of Denver. But we're trying to draw more and more in. And I know that folks who are coming to our concerts are just having their minds blown. We're trying to erase those stigmas of what an orchestra does, what a philharmonic is. You know, you don't have to come dressed up in a tuxedo. You don't. You can clap whenever you want. In fact, if you clap, I know Maestro Graham's going to look back and encourage you to clap more and cheer for the orchestra for what you've heard.
Wait, so I can clap anytime I want?
Anytime you want, Micah.
Even during the quiet parts?
Even during the quiet parts.
See, I don't like that.
Well, we don't encourage you to do that. We want you to listen. But let's say, you know, it's a hard thing to do. All right, let's look at jazz. You have jazz soloists come up and they've got, you know, a couple minutes to improv, make up their solos. And then the rest of the ensemble, whether it's a combo, a quartet, or, you know, a large jazz ensemble, a big band, audience members will clap like, yeah, that was awesome. Great display. Woo. And that's the culture that's built, you know, around jazz. With orchestras, you still have 75 musicians on stage, but let's say you have an oboe player. I'm going to use Schindler's List from that oboe solo from Schindler's List, one of the most powerful and gut-wrenching just moments, and I think all of John Williams' work. It's powerful. Now, I wouldn't recommend clapping afterwards, immediately after that, because, wow, what a moment. It kind of does take you out of the music, and that's not what we're trying to do, you know, when we're clapping. But if you hear something that is just monumental, and it moves you, and you feel like the only need for your, the only way for you to convey that to whoever, to yourself, to have that outlet, or to communicate that with a musician, go wild, go crazy. I'm sure that person will either A, scorn you for interrupting, how dare you clap down, or they'll be like, wow, I moved somebody that much that they were compelled to clap during that choir part, or any part, when it's kind of a stigma in other orchestras to not clap until the piece is concluded, and I've lowered my hands and turned around.
Okay, I'm like that. I want to hear the music. I want everybody to shut up so that I can get this ear candy. And then everybody can clap together.
It fills your soul. And now yes. I do like that because you have that build. And then you get to recognize those soloists who had moments during. But if you have a 45-minute symphony, and at times we perform those, what happens in the first couple minutes, you might not remember till 45 minutes later. So we do our best to help to communicate, to empower you, to feel the best that you can feel. But I'm the same way, Micah. When I'm in an element, when I'm in and I'm kind of like away, you know, from my physical self, especially in rehearsals, I'm closing my eyes, I'm absorbing all that's happening around me. I don't want disrupted. That's a very sacred space for me, so I like it quiet. If I'm going to a Broadway show and spending $100 plus on a ticket, I don't want to see someone's cell phone going off and the screens going off and, you know, taking you out of that experience.
Or when you're in Thor Love and Thunder, like the last scenes and the guy's finished his drink and all he has is ice and it's like...
Oh my gosh.
Every there are 5 stories... seconds, must have another piece of ice. I just wanted to take that guy's ice and just throw it at him. No, bad.
Well, if
bad
it's a,
adult.
If it's a powerful emotional response that you're having too, yeah, that could be upsetting to have that. So probably like,
there's stuff happening.
Yes.
There's
be respectful of those around you, but we'll talk more about the GPO, about other things going on in the world, in my life, in anyone's lives, really. We come back from this break. Stay tuned for more Nick Snacks. Welcome back to Nick Snacks on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, brought to you by 477 Distilling, located in downtown Greeley. They just had a new release last week of their candy corn vodka. Not as disgusting as you may think it sounds, as long as you like candy corn, because it does taste like candy corn. And
I love a lot candy of people corn. Don't like candy corn.
I am a fan of candy corn.
I like candy corn too, but the problem with candy corn is, one, it's addictive, and two, if you've got a cavity, it's no bueno.
No, it's not. You either love or you hate candy corn. Same like if you love or hate Peeps. Not like people. I meant Peeps.
I hate candy Peeps.
Well, we know. So now we want to know, Micah, do you also hate Peeps, the marshmallow treat?
Maybe. I don't remember what they taste like.
They're gnarly and just pure sugar. I want to say this the right way. Anise. Flavored bourbon. It's that black licorice type of flavor.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of that.
Anyone who likes black licorice, I may not talk to you ever again.
Oof.
You better be a diehard Broncos fan. My brother likes Good and Plenty's. Ugh.
Nope.
Those things are the worst.
There's nothing good about them, and if you have plenty, that's too much.
So Clarko likes Good and Plenty's, but he will leave the Good and Plenty's out and allow them to be stale. And I don't get that. I don't like that candy. I don't like stale candy. It's like gross.
Yeah, don't like
stale candy is for ants.
For ants, and for when you forget it long after Halloween's over. Anyway, I digress. We were talking about the Greeley Philharmonic Orchestra and some of the challenges that our arts organizations are facing across the globe, specifically in this country. I just got to say, go out there and support. There's magic happening in that concert hall. And you have the trickle-down effect. All of our musicians are professional. They are paid. And so we need to continue empowering them and having our programs and being able to do more and more in the community the best that we possibly can, especially for the arts, to help pave the way forward for future musicians, future artists, because we've seen the power. You know, let's go to the nerdy stuff that I love talking about. Before I do that, I want to give a special shout out to the composer in residence of the Greeley Philharmonic, Dylan Fixmer. He was on the show probably a month ago, maybe a little longer.
Along with the violinist.
Yeah, longer than that. Getting my weeks mixed up with his wife, Sarah Off. Well, because of our performance to kick off our season with the violin concerto, and I encourage you to go to 1310kfka.com to find that podcast with the GPO's composer in residence, or find us on Spotify, give us a like and a follow. He, after that performance, had an interview with the London Times, and an interview with a Paris newspaper, a Paris classical radio station, and for an opportunity with press in Italy. So the Greeley Philharmonic's composer in residence got international accolades and credit and recognition for the premiere and piece that he had written, the violin concerto, based on the life of Terry Sternberg, who had become homeless and passed away about 10 years ago. So just an incredible story, a wonderful performance that was heartfelt, powerful, emotional. And
Great. Make me feel bad for missing it.
I know. I'm sorry, Mike. Well, I you heard that the previews and them talking about it. So that's on you. I'm saying that's on you.
Well,
but that was a busy weekend.
I had to work.
A busy weekend. I know. Duty calls.
Why didn't you guys just, rearrange it around my schedule since I think I'm so important?
I know we're working on that for next year, Micah. So just a shout out to the Greeley Philharmonic Orchestra and to Dylan Fixmer and to Sarah Off for bringing recognition to this story, to this piece of music, and also to little Greeley old Colorado. Awesome. Awesome stuff. But here we are. What would the impact be if there's no art? Let's just go through this what-if scenario. This will be the what-if I submit to Disney Plus as they're doing the what-if series for Marvel. But we don't have any arts programs in schools or they continue to be cut and decline. And granted, now, a lot of the K-8 schools in District 6 do not have orchestra directors. There's only band or choir. There's not orchestra. How am I going to have musicians for the Philharmonic in 15 years when they're not learning to play at a fundamental level? I'm on my high horse already. I'm not getting down. But imagine 20 years from now, we don't have strong orchestral programs. The arts are on the decline. There's no major symphonies except for the handfuls that can afford it or deplete their endowments, whatever that might look like in this dystopia decades down the road. But if our students, our young people, are not learning music, and how much that enhances all of our lives, whether we know it's happening or not. We'll just go through, Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, Micah. What we talk about sometimes on the Nerd Show, but how much a good soundtrack can make or break a movie, a TV show, your dining experience at a restaurant, even some street performances that I had seen in Chicago this past weekend. We wouldn't have as much of that. It wouldn't be as prolific. It wouldn't add and enhance our lives in the way that it does in so many ways that we fail to recognize or to take pause and recognize, yes, that was good.
I've watched movies because I fell in love with the soundtrack. The Homesman is one of them, and The Homesman is not a good movie. It's kind of dumb, but I love the original score. Marco Beltrami did an incredible job. It's currently just one of my favorites, and not a lot of people listen to it, but I think it's really creative what he did.
I am not familiar with it, but I'm going to give it a listen.
Yes, not a good movie, just a waste of time. But
except for the soundtrack.
Except for the soundtrack, which I listened to the opening titles for, I'm serious, it was about 4 hours in a row. I stayed up very late listening to it over and over again because I was obsessed with it because it sounded so good.
I'm trying to think of some movies that I didn't like, but I loved the soundtrack of. But
Medicine Man wasn't that good. Medicine Man was what it was. It was just kind of there. But the music was good. Jerry Goldsmith, Boom.
Oh, amazing composer.
May he rest in peace.
Well, I'm trying to think of the ones that really stick out. I've been infatuated.
Have you seen Dragonheart?
No.
See, Dragonheart is another one where music's not that good. The movie's not that good. Maybe if you like corny-ish, you know, medieval movies with dragons in it. But it was actually, the music was so good. So you and I both like the guy who composed the music to Killer Angel. Not Killer Angels.
Gettysburg. Yes.
Book is Killer Angels. Forgetting his name off the top of my head.
Randy
Edelman.
Yep.
So Randy Edelman did the music to that. And you can tell there are instances where you can hear the similarities. You're like, oh, that sounds... That's a Randy Edelman. Yep, he did that. Because it sounds so familiar to what his work earlier.
You know, it'd be fun to do some kind of trivia on the show. For like, all right, what composer is this? People could put me to the test to see, can I pick up on the subtleties of some of the most prolific composers we have?
Oh, you can, in the action scene, you can tell immediately if it's John Williams or not. He has a bunch of tells.
Oh, absolutely, he does, especially the horn. But Michael Giacchino also has, utilizes the horn a lot. The horn's also known as the French horn, but it's not been called the French horn in many years.
People still call it the French horn.
They do, but they shouldn't. It's the horn.
I'm going to start calling it the French horn.
It's the horn. Some other stats just to share, and I really want to encourage everyone, if you've not been to an orchestra, come out. Try the GPO, December 3rd, Poinsettia Pops. It's a great holiday show. It's not very heavy classically music, but I tell you, you're going to be impressed at what a professional orchestra can do and sound like, and there's no other surround sound experience like that with a professional orchestra, and we have that in Colorado. Greeleyfield.org, check us out for what's coming up the rest of the season. Otherwise, stay tuned for more Nick Snacks. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Nick Snacks on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA here in the Allo Communications Studios. I am your host, Nick Kenny, with Micah Kilpatrick behind the glass.
I have trivia for you.
I'm already.
All right. So do you know who composed that one?
Mannheim Steamroller.
Oh, so close. No, actually, so everybody knows that's the Imperial March by John Williams. The band is Epica. And they're playing, I don't know what country they're from, probably Scandinavia, but they're playing with it's a live performance in Hungary, probably with the Hungarian orchestra. And they did that back in 2009. Great, great 2-CD album. The next year, my favorite band, Therion, did the same thing. I just adore those two albums because... A lot of times when you have like metal and like bands that do classical music, they'll record it in a studio. And usually I like studio better, but in these instances, it just sounds better live, except during the parts where the dude who should have stayed home was coughing. Like it sounded like he was coughing directly into a microphone. It just made me want to find out who that person was.
That's a hard thing with live. Now, I've been learning a lot about recordings and why there aren't very many recordings of professional orchestras.
Too many people are...
Well, that too. You can't control the environment there. And in order to do so, there are some ways around that. And I'm happy to share, Micah, because the more I'm learning...
Tape people's mouths?
No. So we have a couple of big recording studios. You know, when you're recording a band, you know, five-piece band, four, 12-piece band, 16-piece band. I think 16 is the max amount of, like, you know, all these ports and sound, whatever. I'm not a sound person. But that's very controlled. You can change and augment and mix and blend all these things because you have absolute control over literally everything. When you have a 75-piece orchestra, you can't get that many microphones into mic every individual player, but you need and you want that sound. So they have to be done in big, giant sound studios to be able to accomplish that. That's why you have the London Philharmonic and in L.A. doing a lot of those big movie soundtracks because they have those sound stages. Well, if you're looking at some of the best live tracks across the years, you know, a lot of big bands and even some orchestras that do live, they have to do it in the concert hall, and it has to be live because that's the only way that you can get the full sound, and it's really ridiculously expensive to do that without having a live audience. Well, with that, you have to do multiple recordings of that. So that way you can layer things. So somebody who coughs in the middle of, you know, a poignant, powerful moment that's a little quieter, you know, and you have that person who should have stayed home. That's why they used to give out cough drops. I remember going to the symphony when I was a kid. I loved having cough drops because they're like, oh, yes, this will help your cough. Not always. But also I was the one who, like, choked on, you know, the saliva. And then I cough more by having a cough drop.
Yeah, I choked on a cough drop once, and that was embarrassing as a kid.
But, you get two or three recordings and performances, so that way you can layer and blend those so you can eliminate that coughing, or if that one string player made that one mistake there, or there was a fracked note in a brass player, you have multiple recordings of that to be able to layer and to eliminate that, but you have to be able to do three, if not more, of those recordings.
Now, how much fun would it be for the person producing that to just go through and analyze and copy and paste everything? I would have so much fun doing that. That's my favorite thing to do here is cut and paste and stuff.
That's why you have us do so many recordings for commercials.
Yes. And that's why people hate me sometimes.
Oh, gosh.
Say, can you do that again? Well, that one was perfect. No, it wasn't.
You know, but Micah, by the time I'm done with radio, whenever that might be, and by the time you stop asking me back to do some commercials for KFKA, I'm hoping that I will be able to do a one-and-done take.
Only one person I ever allowed to do a one-and-done take, and that was Joe Tennyson, the late Joe Tennyson.
Yes.
The only person who was able to do a one-and-done.
Well, that's certainly a person to aspire to be when recording commercials. Anyway, back to the live. It's sensational. I've never been a part of a live recording or live studio audience, but there might be some cool things with the Greeley Philharmonic down the road that we are exploring and hope that may come to fruition. And
did you put together an exploratory committee to explore these things?
Not quite yet, but I will say I've got a meeting with the CEO of the Nashville Symphony, who's done a lot of recordings over the years for Naxos, for a lot of professional reference places, and to see what kind of insights that they might have for what that process looks like. We're not able to tackle. I mean, it's $250,000 plus project.
So, if someone
least,
wants to donate $250,000, Nick, where do they go?
You know, they can call my personal cell phone number, which I'm not going to put out on the air, but I'm pretty accessible. Greeleyphil.org to find me, to send me an email. But wow, I mean, how cool would it be, you know, to be able to be a part of a producer of an album? And I wouldn't have anything to do with this. Trust me, there are people way smarter than me. But it's neat to explore the opportunities, because one thing I admire so much about our maestro, Lowell Graham, is that shooting for the stars, why not? What I want people to be challenged to do is just kind of think, what would you envision as the most wild and audacious thing that you could achieve in your personal or professional career? Everyone daydreams. Certainly not as much as when we were kids. I miss the days of daydreaming and fantasizing and being a, you know, Jedi or an X-Wing pilot or other things. Now it's a lot more real, like maybe I can pay off my mortgage sooner than I want to, or maybe I can get rid of student loan debt. Those are the things that aren't so much fun to fantasize about nowadays.
Or maybe you could figure out how to get rid of people who are coughing in the middle of a performance.
That doesn't keep me up at night. Shockingly, doesn't.
Okay. But there are just people that it just bothers me when you're in the theater.
I would take coughing more than conversing, because even experiencing a few weeks ago, there was somebody having it wasn't a quiet conversation. It was just, you couldn't tell what they were saying, but it was audible.
And I would like to apologize to everybody for that. Oh, I wasn't actually there. I was here.
You know what would be fun? You know, this could be a good spoof. We'd have to come up with, you know, $10,000 to pay the orchestra for their services. But it would be neat to have Clark come in and do a live, like he does for sports broadcasting, of the orchestra. And the harmony gets passed over to the second violins. Second violins has it. What are they going to do with it? You know, what would you think, Mike?
No, we have a missed note. We have a missed note. And that violinist is not going to come back for the next performance.
They are not. You know, what's the conductor doing? The conductor is waving his hands madly, angrily at the brass section for coming in a few bars late. And he has cut off that. Well, it'd have to be a performance setting. It would be so distracting, but I think it'd be a lot of fun.
That would be fun.
Listen to those dynamics. Can you believe they got that soft, Tim? I'm just making up the name Tim. I didn't make it up. It's a real name, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, then he would have to have a color guy named Tim.
He would.
Okay. But who here would be Tim?
You could be a good Tim, Micah.
Eh. I'd be the guy in the audience.
Who's coughing?
No, I'd be the guy in the audience glaring at the guy coughing. I'm going to think evil thoughts about you for coughing. Stay home, sir.
And that's no. Please support the arts. Please come out to concerts.
Support the arts, but stay home, sir.
Support the arts, but stay home.
Donate on what is it?
Greeleyfill.org.
Donate Greeleyfill.org, but stay home.
There's a lot of season left, folks. Greeleyfill.org, you'll see what we have coming up. Poinsettia Pops, December 3rd, Christmas Brass, 2 weeks later, and then a whole spring semester. Stay tuned for more Nick's Snacks, though. There'll be more musings by me soon. Snacks on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Also available at 1310kfka.com or on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. That was good, Micah. I like that rendition. And that's a proper rendition of Pirates of the Caribbean to give that extra, you know, percussion and electronic oomph to it. And I always enjoyed Hans Zimmer.
Now, is it Hans Zimmer or Klaus Bedelt? Because I've seen credit given to both guys.
Well, Klaus was a student of Hans, so you know what? They're on the same track together. I don't know, and I'm going to just let them figure that out on their own. But Hans seems to me to be, well, I don't know. I've never met the guy, but very confident in himself.
Well, I mean, they all are.
Well, you have to be. The ego of a musician. You know, it was fascinating. I was chatting to some of our brass players during the concert a few nights, a couple weeks ago at this point. We were talking a lot about the ego of a musician, and I don't want to talk about it in a bad sense, but you need one.
Yeah.
You need to have an ego because...
Radio people have egos, actors have egos, and it's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, but...
It can be a bad thing. It can be a malignancy, but it can also be very benign.
Well, it has to be necessary. Now, let's go on the two sides of egos that you might experience when you meet a professional in their field. We'll just use now, for example, musicians. You can have some, you know, and look at what they've done. First of all, they spent most of their career in an 8x8 room practicing, perfecting and honing in their skills. And that takes a toll on somebody's mind, an 8x8 room, and then every week you go to a private lesson where you're told what you're doing wrong, how you could be better, why you need to be better, why you're not going to make it in this industry.
Unless you're a genius.
Yeah, but even then, I was actually chatting with somebody who's got two degrees in music, one from Yale, and said, you know what? As soon as you can start performing and playing with the best teacher that you can, as early as that happens, the better your chances are of making it. And we're talking 3 or 4 years old to start playing and always elevating and always elevating and trying to get in with some of the best players. Otherwise, you're just not going to make it. I mean, and that's the harsh reality of it. But I was talking to a retired professor at the University of Northern Colorado, and we were talking about the ego and what it takes. You have to have thick skin to be a musician. You have to be able to take in what they tell you, what you're doing wrong, how you need to improve, why you're not good enough, all those things. And it's, again, it's not malicious. It's just the facts. The top 1% of musicians are what we have in Greeley, in the Philharmonic, in the Colorado Symphony, in the Fort Collins Symphony, in Cheyenne. That's the top 1%. Just like you have the top 1% in the NFL or in the AHL and AHL, it's kind of the same makeup, but we prioritize differently salaries and entertainment in this well era. So that's the kind of mentality you're getting. That's why you have such big egos. But if you don't have that, you're not going to make it. You have to have that thick skin. You have to have the mental thought that you are the best tuba player that there is. You're the best trumpet player that ever was, that you're the best there's ever going to be. And I was asking, I said, is that something that can be learned? Or is that something you noticed early on as you're taking in all these students every year and you're like, well, this person's clearly going to make it because they have that attitude, or this person won't because they can't develop that attitude? He said, yeah, when you know, you know, and those people are more likely to make it. I said, well, can you learn that along the way? A very kind person, you know, we see that a lot, especially in the arts, because it is very emotionally driven, whether it's performing arts or the visual arts. You know, that, a lot of that's driven by what's happening inside of that individual. Can you learn that? Can you take somebody who's loves painting, loves doing this, but until they start, you know, forcing their product down people's throats to get their paintings in art galleries or at breweries or coffee shops to be hung up and on display, if you don't have that, hey, this is the greatest art that there is, and this is why you should put me up in your gallery, and this is what I charge, and you will do this for me. Without that kind of mentality, you might not make it.
If you have too much of that mentality, the art studio is not going to carry you.
Exactly. There's a fine line. It's very fine. And it's hard to delineate where you should fall in that. I had an experience when I first moved to Colorado, very negative experience with some musicians. The next year, I shared my, you know what, I would love to have this gig again, but I had a really difficult time working with these folks last year. So if they're performing again, I would rather not perform with them. And I said, oh my gosh, we're so sorry. Nick, would you like to do this contracting instead? I was like, wow, I didn't mean to get anyone fired. But at the end of the day, I'd rather work with somebody I enjoy working with than perhaps the best in the studio. I
mean, that's why you're still here, because you just love working with me.
Exactly. And why we know, Micah, you're fantastic.
No malignancy here.
No. You know, when you're looking at the kind of the culture, you know, some extreme athletes that are so good. Well, yeah, they might be the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But how do they work with their teammates? How do they work with the coaches? How do they interact with fans or reporters? You know, for me, I do not like the Green Bay Packers. I grew up a Chicago Bears fan, but I can at least admire the skills that they have at being a better team than the Bears.
And fan base.
No, I disagree with that wholeheartedly. Maybe.
Sorry, I said that just to be mean.
But I also lose respect for individual players.
I can see that. There are some really great players, and then there are some really turd of a human being players. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is, you know, I think he's one of the best, most talented quarterbacks, but also as a quarterback, I would not want to hang out with that dude because he just does not seem like a nice guy. He seems very self-centered.
But if you're developing a culture where people can get along, you know,
Put him at the center.
They're in this to make money, you know, sports teams. So, of course, you want to win Super Bowls. You want to win trophies. But as far as like a more positive experience other than the dollars that are coming into your industry, boy, wouldn't it be nice to be like, wow, I know that my teammates get along really well and they have a great culture, great relationship outside. And that could enhance over time their performance on the pitch, on the field, on the rink, on the field, whatever, the baseball diamond. Rather than, you know, I want to bring in this all-star, knowing that they will probably alienate the team, you don't have a very good culture. Then you have, you know, spats breaking out during games with your own teammates. Or
you've had that. We've seen that many times before. How many times has Terrell Owens just shredded a locker room?
Oh gosh, and that takes time to rebuild too. It could, you know, you destroy a culture in a moment, you know, by on those decisions, and it takes years to recover that culture. I mean, one bad egg can do a number on an organization. Be kind. Always be humble and kind.
Always,
you know,
be
one thing that breaks my heart is when I watch documentaries or learn things about my favorite TV shows or movies, just to learn that the cast didn't like each other or respect each other.
Oh, yeah.
That breaks my heart. Now, I haven't found too many of those. You know, a lot of times they get along so well that reinforces.
Firefly.
Yeah.
If you ever watch Firefly, those guys just like absolutely adored each other.
Yes. And I think you can tell that too. And then like shows that don't really pan out or work, look at Community. I enjoyed that show, but no one got along with Chevy Chase and caused some other problems. So yeah, be kind, be nice, have an ego. It's important. You need one, but you know how to rein that in when you can. That was a lot of musings by me. Thank you all for listening. Would appreciate your feedback. Give us a like on Spotify. Find us on 1310kfk.com. This has been Nick Snacks, and that's our cutoff.